Chapter 32. The kid invited me inside. His mom was out, and there was a pitcher of iced tea in the refrigerator. The house was dim and shuttered. It smelled stale. It was mean and narrow inside, but it had plenty of rooms. An eat-in kitchen, a living room, and what I guessed were three bedrooms in back. Space for two parents and two kids. Except I saw no sign of a father, and Shauna was never coming home again. The kid told me his name was Bruce. We took glasses of tea and sat at the kitchen table. There was an old wall phone next to the refrigerator, pale yellow plastic. Its cord had been stretched about 12 feet long. There was an old television set on the countertop, small but color, with chrome accents on the cabinet, practically an antique, probably rescued from a trash pile somewhere and polished up like an old Cadillac. Up close and personal, the kid was no better looking than he had been outside, but if you ignored his head, then the rest of him was in pretty good shape. He was all bone and muscle, broad through the chest and the shoulders, thick in the arms. Deep down, he seemed patient and cheerful. I liked him, basically. He asked me,
"Would they really let me join the army?"
"Who is they?"
"The army, I mean. The army itself. Would they let me in?"
"You have felony convictions?"
"No, sir."
"An arrest record of any kind?"
"No, sir."
"Then of course they'll let you in. They'd take you today if you were old enough."
The others would laugh at me.
"Probably," I said, "but not for the reason you think. Soldiers aren't like that. They'd find something else, something you never even thought of yet."
"I could wear my helmet all the time."
"Only if they find one big enough."
"And night vision goggles."
"Maybe a bomb disposal hood," I said. I figured bomb disposal was the coming thing, small wars and booby traps, but I didn't say so. Not the kind of message a potential recruit wants to hear. I sipped my tea. The boy asked me,
"Do you watch television?"
"Not much," I said. "Why?"
"They have commercials," he said, "which means they have to fit an hour's story in 40-some minutes. So they get right to it."
"You think that's what I should do now?"
"That's what I'm saying."
"So who do you think killed your sister?" The boy took a sip of tea and a serious breath, and then he started in on everything he had been thinking about and everything he had never been asked about. It all came tumbling out. Fast, coherent, responsive, and thoughtful, he said.
"Well, her throat was cut, so we need to think about who is trained to do that kind of thing, or experienced with that kind of thing, or both."
"That kind of thing? His sister's throat?" I asked. "So who fits the bill?"
"Soldiers," he said, "especially here, and ex-soldiers, especially here. Fort Kellum is field training for special ops guys. They know those skills. And hunters, and most people in town, to be honest, including me."
"You? Are you a hunter?"
"No, but I have to eat. People keep pigs."
"And?"
"You think pigs commit suicide? We cut their throats."
"You've done that?"
"Dozens of times. Sometimes I get a dollar."
I asked, "When and where did you last see Shauna alive?"
"It was the day she was killed. It was a Friday in November. She left here about 7 o'clock. After dark, anyway. She was all dressed up."
"Where was she going?"
"Across the tracks. To Brannon's bar, probably. That's where she usually went."
"Is Brannon's the most popular bar?"
"They're all popular. But Brannon's is where most folks start out and finish up."
"Who did Shauna go with that night?"
"She left on her own. Probably she was going to meet her boyfriend at the bar.
Did she ever get there?
No. She was found two streets from here, where someone started to build a house.
The place with the gravel pile? The boy nodded.
She was dumped right on him, like a human sacrifice in a history book.
We got up from the table and poked around the kitchen for a minute. Then we took more tea and sat down again. I said, "Tell me about Shauna's last boyfriend."
"First white boyfriend she ever had."
"Did she like him?"
"Pretty much."
"Did they get along?"
"Pretty good."
"No problems?"
"Didn't see any."
"Did he kill her?"
"He might have."
"Why do you say that?"
"Can't rule him out."
"Gut feeling?"
"I want to say no, but someone killed her. It could have been him."
"What was his name?"
"Reed." That was all Shauna ever said. "Reed this, Reed that. Reed.
"Last name?"
"I don't know."
"We wear name tapes," I said. "Battle dress uniform above the right breast pocket."
"I never saw him in uniform. They all wear jeans and t-shirts to town. Jacket, sometimes."
"Officer or enlisted man?"
"I don't know."
"You talked to him, didn't he say?" The kid shook his head.
"He said his name was Reed, that's all."
"Was he an asshole?"
"A bit."
"Did he look like he worked hard for a living?"
"Not really. He didn't take things very seriously."
"Probably an officer, then," I said. "What did he tell you about joining the army?"
"He said, serving your country was a noble thing to do."
"Definitely an officer."
"He said I could learn a skill. He said I might make specialist."
"You could do better than that."
"He said they would explain it all at the recruiting office. He said there's a good one in Memphis."
"I'll go there," I said. "Way too dangerous. Recruiting offices are shared between all four branches of the service. The Marines might grab you first. Fate worse than death."
"So, where should I go?"
"Go straight to Kellam. There are recruiters on every post."
"Will that work?"
"Sure it will. As soon as you've got something in your hand that proves you're 18 years old, they'll let you in and never let you out again."
"But they say the army is getting smaller."
"Thanks for pointing that out, kid."
"So, why would they want me?"
"They're still going to have hundreds of thousands of people. Tens of thousands will still leave every year. They'll always need to be replaced."
"What's wrong with the Marines?"
"Nothing, really. It's a traditional rivalry. They say stuff, we say stuff."
"They do amphibious landings."
"History shows the Army has done many more all on its own."
"Sheriff Devereaux was a Marine."
"Is a Marine," I said. "They never stop being Marines, even after they leave. It's one of their things."
"You like her," the kid said. "I could tell. I saw you riding in her car."
"She's okay," I said. "Did Reed have a car? Shauna's boyfriend?" The kid nodded.
"They all have cars. I'm going to have a car, too, after I join."
"What kind of car did Reed have?"
"He had a 1957 Chevy Bel Air two-door hardtop. Not really a classic. It was kind of beat up."
"What color was it?" The kid said.
"It was blue."